Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. Hope you've had a good day if it's Thursday, and wish you a good day if it's the repeat program on Friday, or if you're listening to a podcast, Reflections by Jorge Gonzalez, or access the recording on my web page, also Reflections by Jorge Gonzalez. Well, wherever you're doing, hoping you're having a good day or a good evening at whatever time you're involved with listening to me. But most importantly, thank you for listening to me. I have a telephone number in case you have any feedback, any suggestions, any concerns. It's 939-333-1010. Okay, this is going to be kind of a different program. I'm going to sort of tie off from a movie that I really enjoyed in Netflix. It's called Hamnet. Hamlet, but with an N instead of an L. And apparently in Shakespearean time in the Stratford, Avon area, Hamnet and Hamlet were kind of interchanged. In fact, Agnes and Anne were kind of interchanged, as we'll discuss later on. But it's just a beautiful movie. I found it really challenging to analyze and to go through the and it's beautiful, not only the movie, the setting, the woods and the background, Elizabethan time, but also the characters and really well developed and interesting in all respects. And I decided to, you know, as I've been saying recently, using ChatGPT, and it continues to blow my mind as to how quickly it comes back with really, you know, suggestions and comments and recommendations of substance. I asked ChatGPT to please summarize Shakespeare's Hamlet and describe and analyze specifically the soliloquy "To be or not to be," that soliloquy by Hamlet in the Shakespearean play is probably, I think, one of the most famous ever. And it's famous because it's so incredibly well written, but it goes in certain different layers, and it's, even though back in Elizabethan time, is the reflections by Hamlet are still as good today as they were then, and the concerns are just as critical today as they were then. So I'm gonna sort of give a summary of what that play, the Hamlet Shakespearean play, involved. If you've seen the movie, I hope this adds dimensions to it. If you haven't seen it, I think compared to other situations, I think having this background will give you more better fulfillment of the movie and a better understanding and analysis of what is involved in it. But before going into the description, you know, as mentioned from the very beginning, the shot of her in fetal position with huge tree roots around her, and these huge trees, beautiful, high. The photography as it goes in and into her, and then goes up into the trees and all, and then as she, you know, walks, she takes it with a hawk. She's much, you know, involved with nature, the bees and the hawk, a mascot that she has, and as she walks back to the home, and this teacher, a tutor that's been hired to take care of the children, Caesar, and so she's kind of feels like reborn and then walking, and there's a commencement of a relationship with Will, who we later discover is William Shakespeare. And most people, I think, when they go, they know that's the plot. I frankly was surprised. I developed it. Then I watched it again with a much more in-depth analysis of what was happening in the movie, which I enjoyed tremendously. And the movie is also this always present difficulty of our balancing our professional goals and endeavors and needs versus our love of our family and taking care of the family and Will, Shakespeare, that is a constant throughout. And of course, at the beginning they're trying to force him into the normal trades that were made money in that particular area instead of this intellectual that he was. In the beginning, she, the wife, Agnes, realizes clearly that he has to go to London and foster and develop his creativity, that was indispensable for him. Towards the end, she holds it against him when their son dies and he's not there, and that becomes a stressful thing. But that's one of the themes, and it's a common theme in life, right? Our balancing our duties and professions and businesses and hobbies and all with the family and the friends and things that we should be spending time with and helping and all. It's a struggle, always, all through life. It's a struggle, the struggle of that, especially at that time, you suffer with them because they don't have the medicines to take care of diseases and enjoyment of, to a great extent, of life at that time, but also suffering with them the incapacity they had to deal with sicknesses. And of course that hasn't changed. We deal with a heck of a lot of them and all kinds of things that we've been able to with the replacement of hips and knees and operations to reopen, clog arteries and cataract operations of our eyes and just tons of stuff that we've gone through. And you think back, that they didn't have that not too long ago. I remember I had an ailment. It was called acute urinary. What was it? Because of the prostate stopping the urine. I mean, I was in real pain, and I'm just thinking, in the past, maybe 40, 50, 60 years ago, it could have caused and ended up in death. And these days, they're able to cure it and take care of so. That's a great part of the movie, as you suffer and deal with them and reflect on health and how tenuous is life. And then of course, that is to be or not to be to a great extent. Let's go then to what, basically was the summary of Hamlet. And it was written in about 1600, 1601. And it takes place in Denmark. And Prince Hamlet, whose father was named King Hamlet, had recently died. And when Hamlet returns, he discovers that his mother, Queen Gertrude, has married his uncle Claudius, who has become the king. And the ghost of Hamlet's father appears to Hamlet. And lets him know that he didn't die by naturally, that that Claudius murdered him by pouring poison in his ears when he slept, and then the play is Hamlet suffering with whether this ghost and this apparition is to be believed or not. And then all the concerns as to whether, he then taking revenge would be a murderer or was justified, and he devises a test where he puts on a play where the closely resembles the murder. And he watches Claudius carefully, and Claudius leaves nervously. And for Hamlet, that kind of indication that he was guilty, that Claudius did, in fact, kill his father. But still, Hamlet delays and has concerns. There's a relationship with Ophelia, which I won't go into. Basically, he struggles with the decision as to what to do with the revenge or not the revenge, and things that happen. He comes to concerns a lot of despair and anxiety and depression on his part, and he goes to the soliloquy of to be or not to be, and it's such a beautiful soliloquy that I asked ChatGPT, spell it out. I want to read it again as in the good old days, and I'm going to read it and I'm going to sort of analyze it, and basically because so much of it is so true today, and that's what this ChatGPT side of emphasizes. And then here's a soliloquy: to be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished, to die, to sleep. To sleep, perchance to dream. Ah, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare bodkin? Who would fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler returns, puzzles the will? It makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Thus conscience does make cowards of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied over with the pale cast of thought. I'm passing a page here, excuse me. and enterprises of great pitch and moment, would disregard their currents ternary and lose the name of action. So basically, you know, he starts off to be or not to be, and the more clear of is you know, to die or not to die. And he, it's not me, but just that's the philosophical thing. But it goes beyond for me, to, you know, to be or not to be in terms of life. It's to be a particular path, to be a particular profession. You know, I had a partner, Joe Wynn, and his salutation was always how you be. And so it's, you know, it's beyond just death. It's your being, your wellness, to say your well-being, you know. So it's so pertinent to what we're talking about. And so it goes beyond just existence. And all then this is sort of going through ChatGPT's analysis of the soliloquy. It says, you know, is existence preferable to non-existence? Whether it's nobler in the mind to suffer, you know, and the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, and to take arms against the sea of troubles. You know, do we accept the life with all these things that are shooting at us, or do we then, you know, take action and then take arms against the sea of troubles? And he says, but Shakespeare deliberately says, I'm reading here, creates an impossible metaphor. You can take up arms against an army, but you cannot fight a sea with a sword. Says, to die to sleep no more. So basically, then he starts thinking, well, if to die is just basically to go into a sleep, then that sounds pretty attractive. He says, but, you know, in that sleep, we have dreams. You know, what these dreams and what takes place. And so there's a whole series of a language as to we don't know what death really is. And no one that has gone to that country has come back. So this unknown, you know, basically forces us then to take the scorns of and the arrows of the slings of nature that are so tough to handle. He's analyzing and reflecting on death as something that could be attractive, and yet because it's unknown, it becomes non-attractive. And this, you know, it calls it the undiscovered country from whose born no traveler returns. And now I've run out of time in this first segment, so we'll discuss, and when we come back, he cites the kinds of things that we are today always face and makes us, you know, depresses us and frustrates us, and we have to live with. So we'll be right back after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez. We're talking about the movie Hamlet and the play Hamlet and the soliloquy to be or not to be. Right back.